Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. My goal is to give veterans the tools and skills they need to thrive and succeed in their civilian career, whether it's after 5 or 30 years of service. My guest today joining me for episode number 128 is Francis Ebon.
And I was also, you know, trying to put myself in position to meet as many people as I possibly could that, you know, I could learn from to help with the transition that I was making. And while you're making those connections, you're also in parallel refining your own story so that you're finding ways to just tell your story in a way that resonates.
Well, my guest today, Francis Ebon, I found via Breakline Education, which I interviewed in episode number 54, Bethany Coates, who's helping vets in the tech and startup industry. Francis gave a talk there about interviewing and career search and has been a mentor over there, and wanted to have him on the show to share some of that advice with the Beyond the Uniform community as well. Francis will dive right into this interview, but He went straight from the military, from the Navy. He's worked in consulting at Deloitte. He's worked in Apple at Global Business Operations. He's worked at a startup called Postmates as their director of business and is now at Facebook. So I think it's a great interview, whether you're interested in consulting or operations or high tech or startups. There's so much that Francis has done. And he also talks a lot about interviewing and resumes and different things applicable no matter what your career path is. I want to give a quick shout out and appreciate one of the listeners, Hoisig, who posted a review on November 5th about Beyond the Uniform. He said, great job identifying interesting vets with good advice, guiding them through a conversation and presenting advice and sense of this for vets. Though to be honest, a lot of this would be applicable to anyone looking for career advice. Thank you so much, Hoisig, for your review. If you haven't had a chance to give us a review on iTunes, it's a really big help in getting this out in front of more vets. Well, with that, let's dive in to episode number 128 with Francis Ebon. Well, my guest today is joining me from Facebook's headquarters in Menlo Park, California, Francis Ebon. Francis, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Justin. This is a great opportunity.
And I wanted to give listeners a very brief intro on Francis. He is the Director of Global Operations and Partnerships at Facebook. He started out back at the Naval Academy, after which he served as a Supply Corps officer in the Navy for 6 years, while also earning his MBA at George Washington School of Business. After his transition to a civilian career, Francis worked at Deloitte as a management consultant, and then at Apple as part of their global business operations team, and then the startup Postmates as their director of business. So Francis, maybe to start out, I'm wondering, you know, for someone who's on active duty that's thinking of transitioning to a civilian career, what advice do you have for them about the interview process?
Well, first, Justin, I would say thank you for doing this for not only all vets, but also for me. I think it's really good to reflect on the journey and the process. And, you know, as I mentioned before we even started this call, I was just so thankful to get an opportunity to do something like this because I wish I had some resources like this when I was transitioning. And, you know, I can also share a bit of my story. And, you know, to your question about one of the most important things to kind of focus on during the interview process or even resources as you are preparing for an interview, you know, there's a bunch of publicly available information. And, you know, one of the best ways to kind of prep for these interviews is to, one, of course, do a bunch of reading. And that can be anything from blogs to, you know, publications like Bloomberg Businessweek or even the New York Times or Wall Street Journal. But then also using your publicly available network. And I think, you know, with my background coming from the Naval Academy, that was a great, you know, kind of built-in network that I was able to kind of tap into. Now, I think the military as a whole is also a great network. The broader military community has been really, really helpful, at least here in the Bay Area, and also across the entire United States and the globe, and really helping vets transition and sharing stories and experiences. And that's one of the things that I've tried to do now that I'm in the private sector, is give back as much as possible and make myself open to having conversations and sharing my experiences with folks, because, you know, it can be a scary transition. You know, as I tell a lot of people, and Justin, you know this from our time at the Naval Academy, you know, a lot of the times that we spend in the summer times, we're doing leadership training or other professional development. You know, some of our peers and the peers that I work with now that are at civilian schools, they are, you know, interning at top banks and consulting firms. So when it's our time to transition to the private sector after our commitment or after retirement, it's in a completely new world. It's a completely different language. There's so much nuance to this transition and understanding how to interview or how to, you know, kind of talk the talk or where to get information, that, you know, the best resource can sometimes just be, you know, talking with people that have done it before. And that's what I try to do now. And I still use that resource today.
That's great. I mean, that's definitely one of the intentions for the show too, is just trying to treat this as kind of like one of those coffee chats. And I completely agree. Like, just learning those stories and learning those experiences can make a really big difference. How did you find those people? Like, when you were thinking of other military people or other Naval Academy grads, how did you track down and get in front of the people that could share those stories?
You know, one of the best resources that's out there, and it was really coming into, you know, the common practice during my transition time, is LinkedIn. And I don't know if, you know, everyone that's in the military uses LinkedIn as much as we possibly could, but it's a great resource for tracking people down, but also a great research tool. And I use it a lot for just understanding people's path to different jobs. You know, you see a lot of folks that are, you know, either working at tech companies or banks or consulting firms or somewhere else in industry, at P&G, and you really just try to understand, like, how did that person go from the military to one of these jobs? And, you know, coming from the military, usually it's a non-traditional background. A lot of times we take non-traditional paths into these jobs, and just understanding those pathways can really help you understand how to make different moves or decisions in your life. And, you know, that's one of the most influential resources that I used, was just using LinkedIn a bunch to understand people's paths. There's also a tool for folks that have gone to service academies. It's called iSaber. And, you know, it's a service academy network that allows you to tap into folks that, you know, have agreed to be part of the network, and kind of a LinkedIn for service academy graduates and people that are in the private sector. And you just share skills and experiences that you have with folks that, you know, either may be looking for a role or actually just looking to connect in specific markets. So those are two different resources that I've really used. I still use LinkedIn quite a bit to connect with people professionally and personally as well.
Do you have any thoughts on how a veteran might translate their experience? So, like, when they're in that interview process, I love that thought of using those blogs and publications that you mentioned to prepare, but any thoughts on how they can best explain their military story to that civilian hiring manager?
You know, I think that's a great question. And that's probably the biggest challenge that what I've seen vets go through, is translating military experience in layman's terms during an interview or even on paper. You know, coming from the military, what I say to a lot of vets that I talk to is, our unfair competitive advantage is the life and professional experience that we have. You know, a lot of us, as we get into the military, you are put in some really stressful, challenging and unique situations that, you know, can't even compare in the private sector. And when you're telling your story and you're, you know, kind of articulating your background to folks that you're talking with in the private sector, you know, some folks in the military shy away from that. They don't want to share their background because they feel like they want to kind of, you know, emphasize all the things that they have done in the private sector that they could do in the private sector. And I always say that, use that military experience to your advantage, but you have to use it to your advantage in a way that resonates with your audience. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges that I've seen a lot of vets have, and even I had early on, was really trying to find a way to articulate my experience and not use a bunch of military acronyms or technical terms that someone that's doesn't have as much exposure to the military would find hard to understand. So the biggest challenge that you have is, you know, understanding the language of whatever industry that you're talking with. So again, as I mentioned, I spent a lot of time reading Bloomberg Business Week, you know, watching CNBC, and hopefully just trying to pick up some of the language and understand some of these terms through osmosis, if nothing else. Because once you, you know, have an opportunity to speak with someone, you want to make sure that, you know, your message and your background is resonating and landing in the right way.
That's great. And I wanted to learn more about, you know, when you left the military, how you ended up on Deloitte. And, you know, I'm in particularly interested in this thought of, like, how does someone on active duty start to figure out what might be a good career fit for them? So how did you end up at Deloitte?
Yeah, you know, when I my last 2 years in the military, I was in business school at the George Washington University School of Business in the D.C. area. And I was also, you know, trying to put myself in position to meet as many people as I possibly could that, you know, I could learn from to help with the transition that I was making. And I went to every single networking event that I could find. I tried to tap into every, you know, service academy network and military network and, you know, business school network. And you go to these events where, you know, you have people that, you know, are sharing their experiences from their own transitions or sharing their experiences at job fairs or whatever else it may be. And you just continuously, you know, continue to make those connections. And while you're making those connections, you're also in parallel refining your own story so that you're finding ways to just tell your story in a way that resonates. So I ended up going to an event where I met Ed Van Buren. He's actually a former Naval Academy midshipman. He's a graduate from, I think, 93, and he was a partner at Deloitte. And he and I talked a bit about my background and kind of what, you know, his team was looking for. And, you know, one thing led to another, and I kind of got into an interview loop and ended up getting an opportunity to work on a bunch of different projects within the strategy and operations practice at Deloitte. And, you know, my time at Deloitte, I was there for a little over 2.5 years and was able to work across both public and private sector clients. So, you know, we really helped a lot of clients think through, you know, how they did digital transformation in not only energy, but also M&A clients and clients across the entire spectrum of the federal government as well. So great experience for me. And, you know, when people ask, you know, where they should go or what they should do coming out of the military, you know, one of the things that I always endorse is consulting. And I think management consulting was good for me because, as I mentioned before, prior to business school, I didn't really have a lot of exposure to the private sector. And what management consulting did for me was give me that exposure across a bunch of different verticals and also a bunch of different types of problems that companies face. So that entire time that I spent in management consulting, I was really just kind of a great training ground to learn as much as I possibly could for some really talented colleagues and peers. And then also, if you join a company like Deloitte, you know, a larger company, you also be in an environment where you just pick up a bunch of training, structured training that helps you really kind of learn very quickly. So it was a great opportunity for me. I'm really glad that was, you know, one of my first experiences in the private sector.
Yeah, I think that veterans are really well suited to management consulting. And I like what you said, because it seems like it gives you rapid exposure to a variety of industries, a variety of functional roles, probably even geographic locations. And as opposed to going directly into a smaller company, a company like Deloitte that's larger, they have an established training regimen, they have an established training program, and so you're going to very efficiently learn from other people and from established training things that I think mirrors in some ways the military, where there's a training pipeline for every possible thing you could learn. I imagine in those larger companies like Deloitte, you have that as well.
Absolutely. It is so true that your experience is really similar to the military in that you're working with teams every day. In fact, in consulting, you're in a team room with 10 people for, you know, 6 to 12 weeks working on one problem. And then, you know, right after that, you might be in a different city every day working with another team, you know, focused on another problem across a different industry. So, you know, you're exposed to so many different challenges that you really get that rapid exposure to a bunch of different problems, and it also requires a bunch of different skill sets for each engagement that you're working on. So couldn't have been a better situation for me. Couldn't have been a better opportunity, and I'm really thankful for it.
And then what led you from there to Apple?
Well, you know, I'll tell you that one of the best opportunities that I had in management consulting was, as I mentioned before, the exposure to a bunch of different industries. And with that exposure, you also kind of get the added advantage of, you know, getting some time to think about, if consulting is not what I want to do long term, and I'm exposed to all of these different industries, well, then maybe this is kind of a training ground for what I want to do next. And I was always interested in technology. You know, my undergraduate degree at the Naval Academy was general science, which is really a combination of, you know, engineering, physics, and computer science. I had always been interested in, you know, the intersection of technology and business. I was a supply officer in the Navy. So I was really interested in technology and all the tech companies, and wanted to get that on the ground operational experience. So I wanted to understand the nitty gritty of the work. So I looked at a bunch of different companies that, you know, had really done well in both technology, but then also operations, and Apple was at the top of that list. So, you know, some folks reached out, and it was just a great opportunity to help join the BD and operations team for advanced technology. And the team at Apple was really focused on, specifically my team, on display side. And we would help develop and launch advanced technology for all iOS displays. So things like iPhone 2019 displays. We would work with suppliers, both here and in Asia, on developing that technology, and then work with our engineering and product teams to help launch those products to consumers. So great opportunity. You know, Apple's a large company, but at the same time, it's still run kind of like a startup in terms of how the teams actually get work done, how you work with cross-functional partners internally, and how you kind of get the work done. So that was really, you know, my first foray into the technology industry, and it was a good one.
And for someone who's on active duty, what's your thoughts on global business operations and why it may be appealing to a veteran? Like, what's a sign that they might like that sort of work, or like the types of things that you do in that role?
Well, I'll say this first of all, that you know, operations or business operations mean something different at every company. And, you know, it can be a misnomer at times because it's used very broadly at different companies. So operations at Facebook versus operations at Apple versus operations at, you know, Postmates are all very different things. And operations at Apple, for me, it consisted of a combination of business development and supply chain management, contract negotiations, and really taking products to market. So it was kind of the entire gamut of operational functions that you had to do, and then a lot of work cross-functionally with product teams, engineering teams, marketing teams, finance teams, to make sure that those products really hit the business objectives that you set out. Now, why this is really appealing to a lot of folks that are in the military is that, one, you're working with a bunch of different teams that are outside of your existing function. And in the military, you have to do that every day. In the end, all of these jobs are really just based on building relationships and making sure that those relationships, you know, really result in a great consumer experience. And I feel like the lead up to a product launch and the entire process around that, and, you know, some of the stressful situations that lead up to that, are really parallel to kind of our day-to-day life in the military. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do in operations and that we did in operations at Apple was really focused on making sure that we, one, set our objectives and our goals, communicated those goals with a broad team, and then executed against those goals. So again, even though it may be a different industry, it may be a different set of technologies or a different set of functions, really the guiding principles are all the same. And I think that's why operations is a really good function to kind of jump into when you're coming from the military, because a lot of it is based on working with teams and a lot of leadership.
That's awesome. And so from Apple, I'm curious what led you to the startup Postmates, and if you could also explain what Postmates is for someone who's on active duty and might not have used them before.
Absolutely. So I was at Apple for a little over 3 years, and you know, as I mentioned earlier, I was focused on display technology, and it was a very intense time. We'd launched, you know, iPhone 4, 5, and 6, and you know, I spent a bunch of time in Asia. So I was in Asia once a month for about a little over three years. And, you know, with all of that experience, you learn a lot very quickly. And, you know, continuing the progression of my interest in technology, I was always interested in working with a company that was at a different phase of growth as well. So, you know, you look at a bunch of companies that are at the intersection of not only technology, but also supply chain and logistics. And Postmates was again at the top of that list. And it was early, it was at the early stages of its growth when I initially joined. So for those of you that don't know, Postmates is a company that's based in San Francisco. It's an on-demand delivery and logistics platform. And what Postmates' commitment to its users is that you can order anything from any restaurant or retailer and have it delivered to you within an hour. So I guess, you know, to be as cliche as possible, it's the Uber for delivery. And you know, it was a great experience in helping that team grow and really finding ways to enter new markets. You know, when I joined, I was employee number 75, I think. And, you know, I focused on operations initially. And really what that consisted of was, one, launching new markets, two, growth marketing and operations for our driver side, what we called the supply side of the marketplace. And then three, around strategic partnerships. So you really have to kind of be what we call like an athlete. And that's really just someone that can come in and do a bunch of different things, right? There's no role or any job that is too little or too big. So yes, you are leading teams and, you know, you're kind of at the forefront of decision making, but you're also diving deep into, you know, doing data analysis and, you know, doing everything that you can think of from top to bottom. So I think, you know, being at Postmates was such a good experience, such an intense experience. But again, I think that that intensity really drives, you know, a lot of rapid learning, and you are exposed to a lot in a very short period of time.
I can see where there's a lot of overlaps, I imagine, for a lot of people's military experience of just pitching in, rolling up your sleeves, doing whatever needs to be done, and just being pulled in a lot of different directions. And I imagine that that's pretty energizing to be in that small team trying to take on the world and overcome these obstacles. I just imagine there's a lot of parallels to what most people experience in the military.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the definition of being at a startup is that, you know, there is nothing that is someone else's problem. And you hear that as kind of a, you know, a quote that is used at a lot of different companies, but I think it's the truth because, you know, startups are usually run fairly lean, meaning that you don't really have a lot of people, but you have a lot of problems. Now, if you are someone that's really energized and really committed to the growth of the company, this is a great opportunity because you're kind of put in the middle of, you know, I guess a big whirlwind of opportunity. Now, what comes with that is it can be a very stressful environment. You know, you will have to build a lot of things from scratch, and you constantly feel under-resourced. Now, I'm sure that in the military, a lot of those same feelings, you know, resonate with a lot of us. But in the end, we always find a way to be successful. We always find a way to win. I think that's why a lot of folks that are in the tech industry find people with military backgrounds really appealing, because no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the odds, you find a way to succeed, and, you know, you don't make excuses. And, you know, I think that that is one of the things that I will definitely say, that, you know, coming from a military background, you certainly find a way to take responsibility for all your actions and to make sure that everyone else is held accountable, but you're also holding yourself accountable. And I think that, that is, that's just a great experience to take with you.
And so what led you from Postmates then to Facebook?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Postmates is still doing really well. And, you know, I'm still good friends with the CEO and a lot of folks on the team. And, The company is still growing. The Facebook opportunity was just a really good personal opportunity for me. You know, some folks from Facebook reached out and they're interested in finding someone to help lead operations for some of the new products in Facebook's 10-year roadmap. Now, those products are across about five different functions. One is new media products, including live video. Marketplace, which is similar to like a Craigslist product. Workplace, which is a workplace or enterprise collaboration tool, similar to like a Slack. And then Messenger, and then AI products associated with Messenger, which is like, it's called M, but it's like a Siri for Messenger. So across these five different verticals, they're all new and emerging products, and they required a different operational approach than what Facebook had currently been doing. And it was a great opportunity for me to come in and help lead a global team across a bunch of different products that Facebook has really just started making its first foray into. So really interesting problems. And obviously, Facebook is a great company. So me making this transition was a hard decision, but at the same time, was really excited about it. I've been here now 2 years, so this has just been great.
And I think it helps for someone on active duty sometimes to hear, like, if we were to zoom in on, because I love the way you describe that position of all of these new business operation initiatives across these different groups. What does that translate to on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis? Like, what sort of activities are you doing? What size teams are you working with? Are you traveling a lot? What does that lifestyle look like?
Yeah, so the team that I initially started out here with at Facebook was about a 150-person team, and it was focused across each of those five verticals where we had folks that were really focused on helping scale each one of these products. And each product was at a different phase of growth. So, for instance, a product like live video or the media products were a bit more mature. Even though live video was just launching, the media team was much more mature team. And what we really focused on was translating the consumer experience back to our product and engineering teams so that they could make better products for people, while at the same time ensuring that there was no objectionable content on the platform. So as you can imagine, launching a product like live video, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for people to have objectionable content and really make it a poor experience for people using the product. Other products like the AI product, or artificial intelligence product that we launched, which was called M. And it's similar to like a Siri, but it's for the Messenger platform. And, you know, what we really had was a team of around 90 folks that, you know, partially worked with the product engineering teams directly to help develop a better consumer experience. But also we had another team that was really focused on a lot of the consumer behavior and how the platform connected people with businesses. And a lot of the work that we did was really diving into the data to understand, okay, so if folks are really, you know, coming onto the platform to request a restaurant reservation, how many times are they doing that? And how, you know, good of a business proposition is this for this product? You know, a lot of my role now is more focused on the partnership side. I've transitioned into working a lot more closely with our developer ecosystem and people that are more technologically savvy, and they develop on the Facebook and Messenger platform to help connect people with businesses. So again, every day it's something different. Team sizes change. The teams that you're working with, the types of teams change. And then also, you know, in terms of travel, sometimes you're working with global teams. So you'll be working potentially with a team that's in Asia or a team that's in the UK. So for instance, two months ago, I was on a trip for a week, and you know, one day I'm in Singapore and the next day I'm in London. And again, there's different dynamics that you're working with each team and different time zones and a bunch of different considerations. So again, you know, no day is the same, but I think the key is just a lot of flexibility and building relationships.
And you mentioned at the start some resources to help people with your interviews. I'm just curious, in, you know, throughout your career, if there's any resources that have helped you that you would recommend to a listener, that could be a book, a program, a website, a podcast, just anything that's helped you succeed in your civilian career that a veteran may want to check out.
You know, I actually work with a few different organizations that help veterans transition from the military into the private sector. In fact, someone that I think both you and I know, Bethany Coates, she has an organization called Breakline. And this organization has a structured program that helps veterans transition by going through not only different case studies, but also visiting different tech companies and being exposed to some of the leaders at these tech companies based on their experiences, but also, you know, different techniques in terms of interviewing and just what they'll be faced with. So I think that's something that I see now that has been really helpful to help veterans transition. There's also another program that I serve as an advisor to. It's called Commit. And they do a similar program where they work with not only different startups and companies, but also VC firms on helping veterans transition from, you know, the military into the private sector. So I think organizations like those, you know, blogs and podcasts, I mean, similar to this podcast here, where you can just hear about different people's experiences and, you know, no one's path is going to be the same as yours. But the best thing that we can do is, you know, pick up as much as we can, because little bits and pieces will apply to each one of us.
That's great. I mean, I love this thought of, I really love what Bethany's doing with Breakline, and I'll put a link in the show notes to the interview I had with her. It seems like a tremendous resource, particularly if you want to go into tech or into startups or companies like Facebook. I haven't heard of Commit, but I'll add them in the show notes and look them up as well. And I love that thought too of looking at blogs and podcasts, really trying to just hear these stories, and I think certain trends start to emerge from them. I'm wondering, as you look back on your transition to a civilian career, what was one of the more difficult aspects of that transition that listeners might know to try and anticipate?
You know, I think the entire process itself is a challenge. And when I say that, I'm talking even more holistically, because every conversation you have is an interview. You never know which conversation is going to lead to whichever destination you're going to end up. And the challenge with all of this is that there's a lot of, you know, doors that will be shut in your face. There are a lot of people that won't respond. You know, you'll go into a lot of meetings and you'll probably say something that you wish you wouldn't have said. And I think that entire process, while it's the process that will help you get to where you will eventually end up and you'll learn a lot, it can be very discouraging. And I think just making sure that you are tapped into the network and you're talking with different people and hearing about their failures, hearing about how challenging it can be, but also understanding that in the end, you will make it. Even if 50 people say no, you only need one yes. I think that's the biggest thing to take away from, you know, this entire process, is that it will be a journey. And that journey is really what helps you learn what the entire process is all about.
I love that. I love that. I think what you had said is, even if 50 people say no, one will say yes. And I love that thought of just going into this anticipating that sales funnel, anticipating a funnel with a really wide opening at the top and a really narrow one at the bottom. But all you need is that one yes for a company that you want to work at or a role that you want to get. And I think that sometimes veterans are told while they're in the military, like, hey, the nation owes you something. You will get out and you'll just get a job instantly. And I think that sets them up for a lot of disappointment when they do find out they need to get those 50 no's first, that there's not going to be just a yes on the first time. But I love, you know, from what you're saying, Francis, the story of persistence, the story of repetition, the story of determination and grit, which are all attributes I think most veterans have, and just applying that to the job search and be ready to take no, not taking it personally, and keep on going until you find that yes, and that yes is going to be worth it.
Absolutely. You said it. And, you know, that is the biggest thing, I think, coming from this. And I mentioned this earlier, you know, a veteran's competitive advantage is that grit. You've been through so much already, and you have that inner fortitude that will help you get through any situation. The challenge is much more of a technical piece, where you just have to learn how to speak the language and go through, you know, kind of the gauntlet of, you know, understanding how to interview, understanding how to do research on an industry. Now, that's the challenging piece. And you're exactly right. you know, one of the things that you'll soon find is, you know, a lot of people that either I went to school with or, you know, people that are veterans, and, you know, the grass always looks greener on the other side in terms of, you know, after you get out, oh, wow, I'm going to go work at one of these tech companies, or I'm going to go work at somewhere in the private sector, and it's just going to be a great opportunity. When you get out of the military, you realize, you know, it's you're hunting for your next meal every day. It is not easy. And, you know, there is no real net that's out there to catch you. Now, again, you have your network, you have people that you can really rely on. But the biggest challenge is that you really are out there on your own. And it's your network and your relationships that will really help you along to the next path. But you will have to go through some tough times in trying to learn, you know, how to make your way through all of this.
Well, this is great. I really like that thought of, you know, you have so many resources out there to help veterans. There's so many different things that in networks that are designed to help veterans, but it is incumbent on each veteran to take advantage of that, to reach out, to establish that network, because you are operating now as a unit of one. You don't have that built-in team and structure, and you're really responsible for every single thing. And so I think it's good to know that there are those resources available like Breakline and Commit and other things like that, but also know that at the end of the day, you're the one who has to take those first steps. You're the one who has to initiate to tap into those resources and to hunt every day for what you eat, as Francis said.
It's absolutely true. And, you know, relationships. It is one of the most important things. That's how you'll not only find opportunity, but that's how you'll, you know, really learn more about opportunities and potentially get those opportunities. So, again, every discussion that you have is an interview. And if you take that approach, it will make you paranoid enough that you will do all the research that's needed before you, you know, go into any discussion or any opportunity. But it is tough. Now, you know, with high risk comes high reward. You know, every opportunity that you have or every job that you have, you'll learn something new that you'll be able to take on to the next opportunity. And hopefully, as we continue to build out this network of people across a bunch of different industries, we continue to give back and we strengthen our network so that we can bring more vets into the private sector.
Well, this is great. I really appreciate your advice on all of these different areas and sharing your story. I always like to reserve that last question just to make it open-ended, which is knowing you have an audience of people who are on active duty, people who are veterans, anything we haven't covered that you want to share with them and just want to leave them with that final word of wisdom?
You know, I'll say this, and I always kind of leave a lot of different talks off on this note, is that we are more powerful than we think. And the reason I say this is because we all have, or at least I can speak for myself, starting out, I have this, you know, you have this insecurity that, you know, you're coming out of whichever military branch you're coming from. You don't necessarily have a lot of what you think are skills or experiences that really relate to the private sector. You look at some of these peers and they go to these fancy schools, they have these fancy backgrounds at fancy, you know, really accomplished companies. And you're thinking to yourself, how can I ever compete? And I think once we realize the strength of our experiences, the grit, the determination of all those experiences, and the relationships that we've built and how valuable those things are, that's when we really become powerful. So there will be some discouraging moments. There will be some failure. There will be some times that we have doors shut in our face. But again, as I mentioned earlier, you will get as many no's as you have ever seen in your life. You will get 50 no's, but you only need one person to say yes. So just keep moving forward. Keep going. It's going to be tough, but you know it does end up in the right place. And I think that this is just a testament to the community that we have here.
Awesome. Well, Francis, I appreciate your time on all of this. And for listeners at beyondtheuniform.io, I'll have show notes, I'll have links to everything we discussed, as well as a rough text transcript of our discussion as well. But thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for the help that you are for the military community.
Absolutely. And thank you, Justin, for doing this. I think there's a lot of people that have benefited from this. So thank you.
Surface.
All right. right. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Francis. I've got a lot of great interviews lined up. If you haven't already joined our mailing list at beyondtheuniform.io, definitely do so. I'm starting to send out a lot more surveys and information and ask for help and ask for intros. And it's not just about asking, a lot of great resources there as well. So check that out. And if you could leave a review on iTunes, just like Hoisig did, would really appreciate your feedback, and a good rating gets us in front of more people. If you ever have any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, feel free to email me, justin@beyondtheuniform.io. I may take a week or two to respond. Don't take it personally, just kind of buried in other things, but would love any feedback, advice, intros, thoughts, questions, concerns, anything and everything. Would love that feedback. There is also a new Q&A aspect of the website. Just testing this out right now, but as you have questions or if you have advice to give, go ahead and check that out there. Thanks. Have a fantastic week, and I will see you next week with more interviews with veterans about their civilian career.